So my question is, can you please give us the concept of Trinity according to Islam?
Trinity. Yes. You see, in my verse also I refer to this briefly. And I tell you one thing, it's very, I think, relevant to the issue. I have about finished a small book on the issue of gradual decay of Christianity. The title of that book is From Fact to Christianity, A Journey from Fact to Fiction. There I have dealt with this particular issue from all possible angles, and also, as far as I could go, in depth. So that is a very large discussion. I would not like to go into this small space, into all details. But in brief, I tell you, the Holy Quran makes a claim that Trinity is not the teaching of the Christ. Trinity is an imitation of the legendary religions and mythical religions of the past. These two claims are made by the Quran. And the first claim has now been fully endorsed by the modern Christian scholars. Even in the modern biblical dictionaries, under Trinity you will find mentioned that Trinity is not a concept found in the New Testament, nowhere. You may read into lines, but you can't find Trinity mentioned at all. And when I read this one of the such statements, I was really intrigued by the effort that which the author was making to make people see how that could be read into the lines, you know, behind the lines and underneath the surface. It's nothing which is found there, in fact. The question is, if a doctrine is fundamental to your religion, then it should not be read between the lines.
No.
It has to be pronounced so clearly, loud and clear, as they say, that there is no ambiguity left about it. Mm-hmm. So when the Christian scholars of modern times admit that Trinity is not so clearly or even mildly clearly mentioned, then the Quran is proved right. And secondly, as far as the second claim of the Quran goes, now it is an accepted fact. And many an honest Christian scholars have openly declared that St. Paul imitated the prevailing mythical religions of Rome, and it was with the help of those ideas prevailing in Rome that he gave Christianity this form, as has been inherited by the modern Christians today. And it was an effort, conscious effort on his part, to make it popular in Rome. Because in their backgrounds, they had an idea of Christianity, three gods and, you know, godheads.
Yes.
So he thought that they would accept it as their own. Mm. And that is what he did. And in this book, I have mentioned it in depth and in detail, I mean. And also, I think I have mentioned that, unfortunately, Christ, who sacrificed all he had for the sake of unity of God, was ultimately sacrificed at the altar of Trinity. Mm-hmm. Roman Trinity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is how it sums up.
Yes. So really, what St. Paul did was to try and gain numbers.
Mm, that's
by adapting the
by
the
sacrificing
laws.
Values.
That's right. It would be similar to us saying to the English population of this country, well, we know that five times a day for prayer would be very hard for you. Mm. In your case, we'll make it three. Just sign here.
Or rather, that according to some interpretations of the Quran, one can say that it was not five time prayers, it was three or even less.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yes.
It would amount to saying that.
Yes.
Sacrificing values for the sake of numbers is something is abhorrent to the Quranic teachings. The Holy Quran is so firm on this issue.
Yes.
That Allah addressing the Holy Prophet, imagine, no one else than the Holy Prophet himself, that if you deviate an iota from what I have told you, you will lose whatever is in the life here and whatever is in the life to come.
Yes.
Everything will be destroyed. An iota. So that is that emphasis for, of course he couldn't do that, is for those weak people who were to follow.
Yes.
That if I don't spare the one I love best, where will you stand before me?
That's right.
So yes, the values must never be sacrificed for the sake of numbers. And this is what Allah does in nature, isn't He? For every childbirth, how many numbers are destroyed and sacrificed?
Mm.
Billions.
Yes.
Billions of possibilities.
That's right, yes.
Which have been created are lost for the sake of some values.
Yes.
Which stand higher than in the case of other sperms,
mm,
which could also give birth to children.
That's right.
So this is the lesson we draw from nature. And also study evolution. And this is the nutshell, ultimate outcome. The central issue of the entire process of evolution, that number must be sacrificed at the cost of a value.
Yes. Yes. It's quality rather than quantity.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
As you know, that I was a Christian just for 1 year.
Yes, yes, I know.
And I tried in that 1 year very hard to be a Christian. But I could never understand that Hazrat Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was born of a Jewish family, he was circumcised, he went to the synagogue, he preached at the synagogue. And all his life he acted and he taught as a Jew. And I asked a bishop once, where did this Christianity come from? You know, it didn't make sense.
And you look at James, his real brother.
Yes.
His resurgent, in fact. The caliph, real caliph. What was the difference with St. Paul or his followers later on? All those who belonged to that school of people who were who originated from such disciples of Jesus, who were trained by him himself, they stood firm on the side of unity.
Yes.
And they stood firm on the side of Judaic teachings. Continuing in Christianity.
Yes, yes.
And look at St. Paul, who had never seen,
never met, no.
And whatever experience he quotes, now the scholars, the Christian scholars, believe it was a fit of epilepsy at best.
Yeah.
And his vision was just, a sort of raving mind. So you go for that and abandon the verdict of those who throughout lived with Jesus and were trained directly by him, and they never submitted to the values of St. Paul and people like him.
No. I mean, many times Hazrat Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, I haven't come to change the law.
Yes. Of course, is that
not
to
one
perfect?
Dot. Yes, so not that was the law of Hazrat Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam.
But you know, St. Paul did it very cleverly. Rather cunningly, if I am permitted to say that word, if it's not offensive to some. If it is, I withdraw it. But the outcome remains the same. He did it through a very distorted and, in a strange way, involved philosophy. He said that, after all, flesh it is for which we commit crimes. And flesh is crime. So when Jesus gave up his life for the sake of the criminal, what he did was, it was flesh he discarded.
Yes.
So with him goes the entire law of the Torah. Because then he likens the law of the Torah to flesh and the spirit of Torah to soul.
Yes.
So he said, for the sake of keeping soul intact, flesh had to be sacrificed. And then he argues, now it becomes as simple as that. If there is no law, no crime. But if there is no law, no innocence either. What he forgot to notice was, it was chaos to which he was taking mankind. It was reversion to the point where there was chaos, and then God said, be, and it was.
Yes.
So order has to be created, and law means order. So disorder means crime. So to do away with the entire law, divine law, is to submit to the will of Satan, practically. And that is what happened. It was not innocence which was born out of that doing away with the law. It was a free to for all to commit whatever they like. And that is why, ever since that time, we have never witnessed any upward trend in the morality of Christianity. A loose attitude which has, in fact, destroyed the peace of the whole world, ultimately.
Mm.